Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Okay, now I'm really excited to introduce Leo from Orchid.
Hi, everybody. Leo Alcoholic. You know what I hit right now that I looked up here because David and I just worked the first tradition before we came in. And it's our. And we start off on the steps with we. So I thank you for asking me to be here, but this is a we program. I can't stay sober without you. Have a little cheat sheet here. I showed David my little cheat sheet. I've been asked to lead meetings in different areas, and they always say, how did he know my name? Let me tell you, I don't know where this is coming from. At one time in San Luis, I was there a few minutes early. They said, hey, would you lead? I said, okay. So I walk around, hi, I'm Leo. Oh, okay, I'm Ben. And then you go around and I write all their names down. Then I'm leading to me. I'm calling out all of them. They're all looking, how do you know my name? I never knew that guy. But hey, it's a we program. I've been here long enough to, I'm still an AA parent. I hear something, share it a few times, and I think I thought of it. But I'll tell you this, this big book, I love this stuff. But I'm going to get right to it. You know, right when David and I are getting ready to do our tradition, my phone rings. And if anybody knows my brother Ken, is brother Ken here, by the way, my brother? Yeah, okay, that's all right. Hey, that's my brother. Well, he calls, hey, I heard you're speaking. I said, yeah. He says, yeah, we're coming over from Lompoc, me and so-and-so and so-and-so. I said, okay. Yeah, we'll see you when you get here. But he's not here. So, you know, I said, okay, got to get back. Shut off my phone, and we did. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. It's very important to have someone that can take you through these things. It's all about, you know, I've had some great teachers since I've been here. So, you know, this is what it's about now, passing it on. But let's start. I am the oldest of five boys. Born in Sacramento. So, you know, we grew up, you know, it was pretty normal household. You know, we were into sports and, you know, we played the football, basketball, baseball. And then, you know, my dad, I was junior, Ray Leonard Batson Jr. Well, my grandpa was Leo, so they called me Leo. So if somebody calls me Ray now, they don't know. It's like, you know, you'd be at the bank or somebody, hi, Ray. I'd say, shit, you ain't don't know me. I'm Leo. Okay. But I'll play on. Oh, yeah, what's up? Okay. But I'm Leo. Okay. So getting back to, you know, so we go through pretty normal. This is Sacramento, California. And I want you to follow now because I'm going to get going. There's Sacramento, Santa Maria. Sacramento, Santa Maria. So you got to keep up, okay? Keep up. Okay. So I get to about 17, and that's when I first drank. I still can't even smell it. The first thing I drank was Ripple. Ripple White. If somebody brought in Ripple, opened it up, man, I'd be regurgitating right now. I mean, just the smell. So Ripple was that. But I go, you know, I got on the fast lane real quick. You know, I hear people, they do all the ANDA stuff. You know, I'm ANDA this, ANDA that. Hey, I was an ANDA guy, let me tell you. So I started out with that. And then at 18, I really got on the fast lane. And my uncle, I had relatives that were, they did illegal activities, let's put it that way. They would get things, I don't know, some of you probably don't know what a brick is and things like that. But they'd bring these big, like, pallets of bricks back. Bricks are these 2.2 pounds of marijuana. Okay, that's a brick. Okay, so, and then they do different things and, you know, I have to tell you, the only thing I'm going to mention on that stuff, I don't want to go into it, but I remember one time I was doing an interview here, and my sponsor said, now see, I'm going to switch back and forth on you, but this is why I'm only talking about a little bit about the drug thing just for a little bit. And this guy, I'm doing the interview, and my sponsor says, just tell the truth. Okay, I'm doing this interview to go out to Los Cueros Boys Camp. And the guy's on the lie detector test, and he goes, how many times do you think that, did you smoke marijuana? And I'm going, oh, shit, what a dumbass question. I'm thinking, does he mean just regular smoking, superchargers, hashish, whatever? Okay, I'd say, let me see, I don't know what I said. I said maybe 600 times? He goes, okay. He says, okay. How many times have you ever taken any psychedelics? I go, well, do you mean LSD, mescaline, psilocybin, orange sunshine, blue microtop? What do you mean? I go, okay. Let me see. Okay, so let me see. 82 times? Okay, have you ever done? Oh, it was like, by the time I got through, I just wanted to tell the guy, man, you're a. But I told the truth. I didn't get the job. But the thing is, I really didn't want that damn job because he said, hey, do you, you know, you're going to have to watch people taking the showers and all that. I said, man, I don't want to watch them taking showers anyway. But I did the interview thing. But it was good for me because I told the truth. So we get back. So you can get the idea. I got into the fast lane. So my parents didn't know about Al-Anon or any of that. So I'm in Sacramento in the fast lane with my two cousins and, you know, my road dogs till the wheels fall off buddies, right? Well, my parents didn't know what to do, so they moved to Santa Maria. Now, I don't know. I got caught up with the people in Santa Maria. Hey, you can put me in Alaska. You can put me in the desert. I'll find somebody that parties. So I was basically, I'd go back to Sacramento back here, but here in the meantime, and this is where the honesty comes in, I'm only 18 and a half. Well, basically I found out I was going to be Daddy Leo. 19 years old, and the dad, and man, I, you know, and I don't make the jokes about Catholicism, because in our grapevine it says, you know, about, you know, we don't do that, but I said, man, I think I ought to get married, because I, you know, I'm going to have it. And so I said, I think this is a good idea. I'm a dad at 19. So I say, maybe this will straighten me up, because you people are bad news over here. You're just as bad as the people in Sacramento. My parents had moved me over here to get me away from those bad people, and I found them here. So I decided I'm going to go back and get married. So you can, are you keeping up? So I was over here for about a year, year and a half, just doing the same thing, okay? All right. So I go back there, and we're going to get married. I said, okay, we need to get married. So I know I started out. I looked out, and we get married, and I look out, and Toby is 13 months old. He was dressed, had a little tie on at the wedding. So I said, man, I didn't even start out doing it right. So there he is, okay. So we got married. And, you know, I'm not even old enough to drink yet. 20 years old. I said, Jesus, holy. But, so we were able to buy a little house and this, but I'm an alcoholic. So, and you know, that my ex-wife, wonderful woman. I mean, I have to tell you, whatever we do, we seem to find the greatest partners in the world. I don't know how, and they put up with us. So, this is Fastlane. She got a job at the state. And I had different little positions. What did I do back then? Oh, I became I started out at McDonald's hamburgers at Flippin'. I became the manager out in the Cal Expo Boulevard. And so they sent me to Hamburger High School. No shit, they did the Hamburger High School. Hey, you don't know. And there's even Hamburger University, but I didn't go back there because they teach you all about the equipment and all this, all that. They gave me an interview one time. They said, what happens if something breaks down? And I had Frank. I said, well, I put down there, how do you fix it? I said, I put down there, call Frank. They said, well, now what if this goes wrong? I said, I call Frank. So they said, well, I said, hey, that's what I do. I call Frank. But so I was working out there. And, you know, even back then, I had to drink. I'd sneak next door to Arby's and have a beer. And so then we had this house, and one of the guys that worked, I said, Art, he drank like me, and he wanted to rent a room, so Art rented a room. My ex-wife said, why are we renting a room? And I said, Art needs a place to live. Well, Art, you know, Art and I just drink. I can remember many times Art would be driving me to work. I'd be in the back seat sleeping. I'm the manager, right? Get there. Hey, let's get this thing going. Got my tie on and everything. But, you know, I could always come out smelling like a rose. So this is the partying starts escalating. Two little trips that I used to start at partying with my cousin, Johnny Ray and David. Johnny Ray he's one of these 90 days off and goes to jail for 90 days and out. And I'm not making fun, but if you look at him like that van's going around, he's like his head bobs like this, and you, if you look at him very long, you'll be doing it. Just, you can't. And my, the other one, David, committed suicide, so these were my cousins. But they would come out and say, talk me into things like this. I remember one time they go, Leo, you know how much gas costs for the car? I'm thinking, it's only 49 cents a gallon. I know how much it costs. And they're going, yeah, but if you don't have to pay for the gas, then we can have more money to drink on. So this is my gas story. So they get me drinking, and I go, pretty soon they're teaching me how to siphon gas. I remember they pull up, and they take somebody's hose, and they chop it off, and they went over these trucks, and they go, Leo, you do it like this. You stick it in there, and you go, you just go one time, and then you put it in the can, and it'll come out. Well, I didn't get it down. I remember I go, but so I came into work the next day, and they go, I remember this one guy, she says, man, you smell like gas. I'm thinking, oh, shit, I was drunk last night, and I was all siphoning gas. I didn't do a good job. But this is the kind of, and I remember one time I showed up, they got me out drinking. We're drinking rum, right? My two cousins and I. I'm leaning up against the car. I still, and I just kind of lost my balance, and I went, whoop, flat on my face, and I got up, and I go, oh. And I said, hey, Ma, how do I look? They said, oh, you're fine. You look good. I said, okay. Well, I have fallen gravel. I have little gravel embedded all over my forehead, my cheeks. It looked like I was ready to be paved on the pavement. So I get home. I remember I looked in. I go, oh, my God. And I remember I had to wake up my current wife. Oh, she was P.O. I had to go down to the hospital, and I remember the nurse, she scrubbed all this stuff out. Let me tell you, this is how sick I was. I showed up at work the next day. I looked like a damn mummy. What happened? I don't even know. I don't want to lie. I don't know what I came up with, but I know I look like a mummy. But I didn't tell them I fell flat on my face and gravel was dug out. But this is what I did. This is the way I party. So I come here. I come back. 1977. Let's move it up. My wife has put up with all that, and I say, I'm going to move back to Santa Maria. I'm going to change my life. Williams Brothers Market was here. It was Vaughn's now, and I was working at a supermarket, Lennox Supermarket, and she was supposed to follow me, and she did. So she was smart. I moved over here, took the job at Williams Brothers, and I'm chronic alcoholic, but I could put a tie on and pretty much, so they started me out. I'm going to be a manager at Williams Brothers. They said, man, you've got the skills and all that. Started out renting one of their houses and went through, you know, kind of moved up in a little bit. But what they did back then, I started getting in trouble with the law here. Back in Sacramento, if you got pulled over for drinking, they just pulled, they'd sit you down and they'd say, hey, you can't be driving. So they'd take me, drop me off at my cousin Christie's, because I ain't going to bring me home, because I ain't going to listen to it. So, but I got over here, and they actually arrested. I remember the first night, I was out drinking, and this guy pulled me over, and I go, yes, officer. He says, have you been drinking? I said, you know what we say. I had a couple. But this is how smart I am. I get the DUI, and I go to court here in Santa Maria. I'm going, man, this is like going from New York to, back then, man, the big thing from going to work, they had a jack-in-the-box in town. That was it. It was like Bidsville, man. I'm used to coming to Sacramento where it's moving out. Woo-hoo! So I go to court. I remember them saying, okay, Mr. Batson, DUI, if you go to the SMART program, it'll go off your record. I said, well, what's that? They said, well, you just go take the class. It's like a traffic ticket. Now this is how smart I am. I remember telling the judge, I said, Your Honor, do I have to go to that SMART program? And this is all smart, right? He goes, no. But if you don't go, your insurance is going to go way up. Okay. I listen. I say, that's okay. I don't want to go, Your Honor. He says, okay, you don't have to go. So I got a DUI on my record. So then the next one, though, I got to tell you this Thanksgiving story. 19, I was out of my parents on Roxy Avenue. My brother Kelly, Brian, who stayed sober 16 years, he's... He died 4 years ago. My brother Keith, who died of alcoholism about 7 years ago. And we have my sister Lisa. After five boys, my parents adopted Lisa. We're actually 18 years apart. The only reason I mention that because it's part of my story. So that's my sister Lisa. But what happened that day on Thanksgiving, and this is why I get grateful, I decided I'd have a little drink.
Okay.
So I had a drink, and then my brother that was a year younger, we started fighting. And I remember my dad, like, you ever hear that trip, son, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. You know, you're going to get a whipping. And I'm thinking, how's that going to hurt you, man? I'm the one getting a whipping. But he says, you got to go. You have to leave, right? And so what happened is I got a drunk driving. But here's what I did right before that. And I don't like to mention other substances, but back then, if I worked at Williamsburg, they put me on night crew because I was bad. They put all the bad people on night crew. So I'd have these little, they called them crock pots or biddies or whatever. So I'd always keep like one or, you know, I'd take them once in a while. Well, that day I needed to sober up. I drank a quart of booze and So I ran home. Pino Solo, and I want to tell you this. This is the story on the drunk driving. Well, I kind of overindulged. I took, I think, 15 or 20 of them. So what happened is, I said, I'm going to go get some more booze. So I went down, got more, and they arrested me for drunk driving, right? It was right about 2 o'clock, I always remember. We'll get sober. But these are the three stories of my drunk-a-log. So I go to the jail. They arrest me. Thanksgiving Day, I go, and I didn't fight this one. I was pretty toasted, right? So they get me there, and about an hour later, I woke up, and I remember telling them guys, I'm not even drunk. Look at me. I'm not even drunk. Look at me. They go, fuck, you know. See, man, them old beanies came on now. And they kept me pretty soon. I said, hey, I kept bugging them, and they said, you got to stay at least 4 hours. I remember 4 hours. Okay. 6 o'clock. Let me out. So they let me out, and I just go back. That's the way I partied. So that's sick. So I back, and it progressed. And then back then, they finally at Williams Brothers Markets, the screw-ups that I had a boss back then that would go, you know, everybody got an hour for lunch, and said, Leo, I'd be like Vicky, come on. I don't want you taking an hour for lunch anymore, Vicky. You get a half hour. Because during an hour, they let me out of there for an hour. I'd come back, man, I'd be 4 or 5 natural lights. I'd come back, hey, this is not too bad working, right? But, you know, finally they just put us on night crew, all the guys that were on night crew. And, you know, we were basically partiers. We'd work all night and then party. But finally they were able to get rid of me. My alcoholism really progressed after that, finally losing that job. I went back one last trip to Sacramento, and this is where you got to keep up. And I ended up hanging out at this place, the Vina Vista Market on Stockton Boulevard. And I was unemployable, drank around the clock, and you'd be over there drinking. Everybody had their own chair around. You know, you'd be drinking Night Train Express, Old English 800, Mad Dog 2020, T-Bird. I mean, Eagle of the Invisible Vodka. That was a good one. 100%, you couldn't even taste it, man. You'd take about 3 swigs and you'd be over there in your chair. But this is the way, finally it got so bad, I was so sick that they brought me back, my cousin brought me back to my parents. And they told me you can't stay here. I had to, they let me, I was out in the garage and I was just a chronic alcoholic. And I remember my dad came out again, he says, you can't stay here, you gotta go. So I had a friend, Russ, who I used to work with at Williams Brothers. He rented me a room out in Ben Wiley. And I remember his wife one day came to me and says, hey, your wife wants to know, do you mind just living out in the garage? And she don't want you in the house no more. I said, okay, I'll live out in the garage. I don't give it. But highlight of my day was going to the Playroom Bar and that. So my alcoholism, and this is the hot dog story. So I'm hanging out at the bars during the day. 9 o'clock, Playroom Bar, 9 o'clock, drink 15-cent beers. You'd be there, you'd be waiting. And I remember the day, I guess I was really toasted that day, and we were going to barbecue at Waller Park. I remember they said, we're barbecuing. I said, well, I want to go. You know, I said, I'll go. I still had a little Volkswagen back then, little blue Volkswagen. And I tell you what, that thing, I had a guy on it. He had a dog, and this dog would not get in my car. I'm a dog lover. The dog would come over, honestly, and go like this. And they say, come on. And the dog says, no, I don't want to go in. It just smelled like puke and, you know, probably, I don't know, people probably went, you know, number one and two in there. I don't know, but that dog wouldn't get in there. But it was just like a, it was a drunk mobile. And I can remember the day, like it's yesterday. We're out, they say, yeah, we're going to barbecue at Waller Park, Leo. I said, I want to get something too. Well, I'm in a blackout, right? I'm just toasted, re-roasted, and they go over to Circle K, and they were picking up things. And they said I calmly did this. And this is the people I hung out with. I thought they were my friends. And they said I went over and got 2 packs of hot dogs, 2 8-packs. And I put them in my back pocket, just like this. And they said, I walked up, and the lady, I guess she saw me, I didn't. She said, are you going to pay for the hot dogs? And they said, I said this, oh, no, not at this time. And I even told them afterwards, I said, why didn't you help me? I even said, well, you know, you just said, no, not at this time. And then the white guy said, we want to have some hot dogs. I said, so the lady, this is how smart I am. She just takes down my license number. She could describe me pretty well. And so I got arrested. They came out, they found out where I was, and I had this arrest. You have to go to court. Okay, I'll go to court. I go to court. Okay, Mr. Batson, you're charged for petty theft. I said, oh, man. But you have a prior. I'm thinking, shit, I don't have a member no prior. I guess 6-7 years ago, I'd been caught in Sacramento stealing a ladder. My cousins talked me into doing that. I forgot about that. Well, said, okay, Your Honor. I mean, obviously, I'm guilty. I'm the wiener thief. And he goes, I always remember this. I go, oh, I'm thinking, shit, he's going to give me a community service or, you know, like I've been out to Waller Park a few times doing the queue. He goes, 90 days. I go, oh my Lord. I said, do you want to start serving that? I go, oh shoot. I go, Your Honor, can I have some time to take care of some of my personal affairs? I go, oh, shit. So I had like 3 weeks. This June 25th, 82, I'm going to get sober. So those next 3 weeks, I am really, man, I am just drinking. People are buying me. I got to go to jail June 25th. Got to be there at 8 o'clock. Like, I had to speak tonight at 8 o'clock. So here's the gig on alcoholism. Keep up to this part. This is the important part. So we get to that day. That day I thought was the worst day of my life because Russ comes to me and says, Mona, after you get out of jail, because I kept saying I'll be out in 60 days, he says, Mona doesn't want you to come back, Leo. So I had to leave the garage, so I put all my belongings in my Volkswagen. I drive out to my brother Ken's that's supposed to be here. I drive out towards him. I say, Ken, I can't drink today because I got to be at jail at 8 o'clock. You're driving me. Okay. We sit out there all day, and pretty soon it gets to be about 5 o'clock. I go, oh, man, I don't feel so good. I've been drinking every day around the clock for 3 weeks. I don't feel good. So I said, I need to take just one drink. Pretty soon I didn't feel so bad. So then it got to be time to go speak, 7:45. I said, Ken, time to go. He says, okay. I said, I'll drive, Ken. And he goes, you sure? I said, yeah, he's just down to the jail. I want to drive my Volkswagen. It's only 3 miles. We go out 2 blocks. The sheriff pulls up. I go, oh, shit. He comes up. He goes, have you been drinking? I said, oh, officer. Ken said, now, Ken didn't take the, you know, I don't want to blame him for that. He told me, I don't want to blame him, but he told me he was drinking too. But then what happened is, I said, officer, I had a couple earlier, and I'm supposed to go to turn myself into jail at 8 o'clock, and I don't want to be late. And he says, well, you still have to take a sobriety test. I said, oh, officer. But long story short, I got a drunk driving on my way to jail. So they put me, I'm out of jail, I'm in there for hot dog fevery, and even the guys in there, they go, how come you didn't tell them you're... Grandma died or this or happened. Everybody I knew was happy I was going to jail. I was mad. So I'm in there and they would come in. They'd bring meetings in there. And they go, and even the guys in there say, man, you ought to go. So they sentenced me. That was my third drug driving. They sentenced me 120 days plus the 90. So they were running them concurrent. And I was very sick the first 2-3 weeks, detoxed in there. I couldn't sleep, any of that. But when I got out September 15th, 1982, the first thing I did was drink, and I didn't understand it. I didn't have the physical cravings. I remember I drank two Colt 45s. You know, two Colt 45s, get a quick little buzz, right? The next day, I drank a half pint of whiskey, and I knew I was off and running. But I came into the program September 17th, 1982. They were reading out of the book, 12 o'clock meeting over at the Santa Maria Valley Group, and I felt a part of it. I had no driver's license. Ken allowed me. I was living in that little garage out in Orchid. He had a place out there. It had a little garage. People used to let you live in their garages back then. Man, I was the garage man. There was no homeless shelter, none of that. I lived in the garage. But the so what happened is I got active in the program. I met Keith D here back at the Orchid Group where I was living at my brother in my brother's garage. That was September 1982. And I started riding a bicycle around. I thought it was, I had to get around. I started riding a bicycle. Then it was a big thing. I moved up to the Grayson Hotel. That was right by the 1600 Club. There used to be the post office, the Grayson Hotel. Started getting very active in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd get jobs. One time I was washing dishes, and I worked at Grand Auto Parts Store one time, and most of them were Spanish speaking. I'd go in there, hey, they'd come up and they'd point it out. I'd look it up. You know, they said, how did you do it? I said, man, my higher power just helped me. And then when somebody tells you you can never get a job sitting at a club, hey, that wasn't my experience, because I was sitting at the 1600 Club one day and a guy called and he needed somebody to go out in the offshore oil rig with him. So I spent almost 3 years out there, week on, week off. So my life started getting better. I got a driver's license. Stayed real active in the program. But there's one thing I have to share. My second year, I went out a few times, was not honest. Took a 2-year cake, not sober. Horrible feeling to stand up here, yay, 2 years, and you go, oh man, I'm a piece of shit. Pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. So my sobriety date's August 4th, 85. I remember telling Roger, we were at a meeting, I said, Roger, I'm not sober. He says, you gotta change your sobriety date. Roger went on, he got in a motorcycle accident and died. Not many people remember Roger, but he was a great friend. He wasn't my sponsor, but he was a great AA member. So I changed the date, started again, August 4th, 85. I've never had to go back out. Every day I ask God to keep me sober. I thank him at night. So that journey, by just getting honest, and some people have to change the dates in here, and that's fine. What I tell people is that you don't lose the knowledge that going to meetings, it helped me to finally get honest and change that sobriety date. So these last, the years of my sobriety, I've had so many great things happen, and part of it, I went back to school, and then one of my things is I actually ran a halfway house back in the 80s, good house. I was 16 months sober, and I started out there, and I remember as a resident manager, and then the director of the program, I always remember he went back out and drank, and I became like the director, and I had a 14-bed unit. You do a lot of work with probation, parole, and all that. But I learned back then, I stayed very active in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a two-hatter. I found out what a two-hatter, you work in the field. So I did that for a while. I went on and I worked at community health centers for about 10 years. Worked a lot with the homeless and different things. And then I've been in sales for probably the last 15 years. I enjoy outside sales and going and meeting with clients and going to meetings and, you know. But let me get into the steps now. Part of I'm on my fifth sponsor. Four of my sponsors, man, it's like four of them have died sober, though. You know, they made the meeting in the sky. But I've had great teachers. And the sponsor, I have a sponsor now, he's sober 50 years. So I always believe in having a sponsor. But with those steps is I learned that the first three steps you get right with God. So when I'm working with somebody, we write out the first step. Some of the things we did when we're out there that proved, like me, falling flat on my face. St- stealing hot dogs when you're in the, you know, just write those things down. Sure, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. When you do it and hold hands with somebody, it's so powerful. Then you do it, step two, writing. And I was taught to do this, and man, I just felt like I've worked the first two steps, then the third step, writing it out and doing that third step and learning the third step prayer, what that is, and saying it. And then by that time, fourth step time, resentments, fear, sexual inventory, write down the first four things you swore you'd never tell anybody. My first four step I did with a priest that just got out of the seminary. I thought the poor guy was going to go say, this is not for me, man. He thought, you know, most of the time you get a minnow. Oh, I said shit 14 times and I gossiped about Aunt Lily and I said this. Well, by the time I had been out there for years, he is the poor guy. But point is, I did it finally. I did the first one with a priest, but then I got my sponsor and we went through that and I shared all those resentments, the fear, the sexual inventory. And then on to the defects of character, writing about those, 6 and 7. I got right with Leo. And then the 8 and 9, those amends steps, they're direct amends. They're not indirect amends. Indirect amends is pretty, hey, Joe, sorry I stole your lawnmower about 12 years ago. Man, I was kind of drunk, but I decided I needed to sell that lawnmower. Hey, my cousins had taught me, and one time we went into the lawnmower business. You know, we'd steal your lawnmowers and then we'd sell them. We'd be, they take them out, they go, bro, look at this. I go, I didn't like the lawnmower business because you're not supposed to do that. But point is, I had a lot of amends and I had amends to make with my, you know, my ex, my children. They saw me arrested out of the house a couple of times. My son, I was telling one of the guys I sponsor, he didn't speak to me the first 5 years. It's kind of, alcoholism really damages that. It's kind of ironic now, he works at Folsom Prison. I always tell him, you know, you guys make too much money. You know, you're not the private sector and all this. But one of the things he tells me about some of the people in there, they do these IQ tests, and a lot of them are very intelligent. And then I tease them. I say, man, they're probably smarter than most of your officers. And he goes, no, not all of them. I said, some of them. But because I still have that little bit of element within me, you know, I was arrested. And then I remember on that interview, I got to tell you something, because I was honest on that interview when the lie detector, I still remember the time he said, Vicki, how many times have you been arrested? And you think, I was so honest, I counted up. You know, 13. And he goes like this. I remember, this is what I wanted to say. He gets on his computer. Nope. It says, you've been arrested 30 some times. I said, well, how do you figure? He goes, well, what he was doing, like back when I do these stupid things in Sacramento, they would give you weekends. Like, right, okay, because they want you to keep working so you pay the fine and everything. So you get 7 weekends. You don't do it straight, otherwise. So I said, those are weekends. He goes, no, they booked you in on Friday. They let you out Sunday. I'm saying, you dumbass. That's just one, that's one offense. That's what I wanted to say. I didn't say it. I said, oh, that's the way it is. But that was, you know, that was my sentence. So why would you say I've been arrested 34 times? Didn't make sense. So I always remember that because I still wanted to tell him it's only 13 times. But I never made amends to him for my bad thoughts. You know, I didn't. But so I got right with the people. And some of them were some financial men, some are different things, but I did that. I've cleaned the street. I have a great relationship with my ex. I have 2 children, Toby and Stacy. They have children. My grandkids actually, you know, they like being around me. They don't know about my active alcoholism days. They don't. And I haven't gotten into all this stuff, but you know, most of you that are sitting here understand the demoralization, the things we do under the influence, the things we say, the people we harm. I mean, you know, I could live another lifetime and not give back to AA. I walk happy, joyous, and free. I'm one of these, and I share it a lot. You know, as long as I was out there, I'm lucky I can still put sentences together. My higher power wants me to stay active in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's God's will for Leo. Help others. And the guys I work with, I try to get them going on these steps, the tradition, so they can help someone else. And if you're new here, like Sean tonight or anyone else, if you really do the work, if I had, you heard all this about being drunk, now being sober. Oh, by the way, I am married almost 20 years. Wonderful woman. She's a public health nurse. Hey, she's got to be a saint too, right? She says, hey, honey, you want me to go with you tonight? I said, you don't need to. She's been a couple times. I mean, she just, I think sometimes she doesn't know that part of me. She only knows me as being sober. But she's heard me a couple times. But the thing about my life today, the most important thing, even when we got together and I met her when I was working at community health centers, is I always said, you know, the program is always going to be first. As long as we can work around that, it's always first. It can't, and she understands that. So that's my life. I this last year, I had a tough year. I had to put my dog down, Macy. I love Macy. She was 15 and a half, and man, that dog was like, oh, her and I were like inseparable. And, I've had some different things that have happened over the years. I had a health issue 6-7 years ago that I went through. Didn't share a lot about it, but just did what I had to do, and, it came out fine. And, the higher power that I have now, I talk to him like this in the morning. I just ask him to direct my thinking. Oh, God, that I may see. I read a few things out of the book, 24-hour day book, daily reflections. I get out there and mix and mingle, go to a meeting, and at night, when I get home tonight, same thing. I say, thank you, God, for this day, sober and drug-free. If there's anything that I need to clean up, that 10th step, do I know an amend somewhere? Did I do something that needs to be taken care of today? Because I sleep pretty well at night when the day ends. And I'm not saying that I don't get resentful or fearful or things happen. They do. But I try to clean it up now because I don't want to carry that with me. So if you ever want to know anything more about Leo, I'm pretty much an open book, and I love the program, and I never really know what's going to come out of my mouth, except to tell you, I'll close with this. If you're new to AA and I was going to do this, just flop over and not be here, I'd say, if you get active in Alcoholics Anonymous and get a sponsor, go through the steps, go through the traditions, learn what we're about, help others, your life will change beyond your wildest dreams. It will just change. And that's where, and I'm looking towards, I have a sponsor that tells me the best years of my life lie ahead of me. And I believe him. I was thinking today, I want to be, one day at a time, I want to be sober 50 years someday. I'm 29 years sober now, but it's one day at a time. I'm not even guaranteed of tomorrow yet. But today, I'm pretty sure I'm going to stay sober today. So I want to get to birthdays. Thank you for letting me share. You guys are great. Bye.